Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Finero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 201, here as always with the feverish Finero. We are absent Dave this week. As all of you know, last week we joked around a lot about a baby being born on the show and didn't happen. So Dave one heard that it was vacated target week. So he's like, hell no, guys, not the week after a baby. And then I was like, okay, we won't talk about that. We'll just talk about how you're a closet Cardinals fan. And then he made it like really unfun because he's just like, yeah, I'm not even in the closet about that. They're my second favorite team. So that was no fun. And so we gave Dave the week off to spend some time with his beautiful wife and beautiful new baby boy. Big shout out to Dave. And I know, Finero, you feel the same, man. What's up, brother?
Yeah, man. I'm a little alone time for you and I. While Dave is tending to little F underscore space baby. And obviously we will miss him, but at the same time, totally understand. And hopefully our listeners do as well.
With his rookie pick 101.
Yeah, that was, I love when that was brought up in the chat. I think that's perfect. FF space baby, the 101 pick.
This evening, we're going to be, we can't get away from some camp news. Super got exciting super quick. And then we've got some rookie rewinds. But, I mean, Finero and I were talking before we hit the button so you guys could hear us. And some of this stuff just blends together week and just camp news and how excited we are. So, man, Finero, weeks ago, I don't know how many, you know, like two or three, maybe more. You're just like, I'm freaking all in on Elijah Moore. Like, I'm paying up wherever I can. Offers that I don't even think, when you talk to me, I didn't even think they were crazy, but we'll say they were completed with ease.
Yes,
by you.
Correct.
Trades that I don't think you could get done today.
Yeah, that was my loose prediction. I don't want to say that I saw it coming, but it just starting off the camp news, Elijah Moore seems to be the headline every single time you see anything related to camp news. And the hype is real. And I think you're right. I think between 2 or 3 weeks ago and now, the value has gone up again. And my concern when I made the trades was that it wasn't that it was going to happen this soon. It was that it was going to happen during the preseason games. That was my fear, is once we saw him in preseason games that the value would go up. And then, oh my, week one or week two, how the value could go up. So I kind of thought that was very possible. So I thought there was a narrow window. I felt late to the window, to be quite honest. There was a narrow window where his value was already high. If I had thought about it sooner in drafts, for example, and got more shares of him there instead of where I had to get him later. But I was glad that I was still able to convert those trades. Yeah. Considering, like, I remember one of the ones where I felt like I really kind of overpaid. The guy like totally turned me down for what I offered and turned around and said, oh, no, I want a 2023 first and second. That's what I want. At 2023, like, everyone's already talking about 2023. Like, yeah, they're just passing 2022. They just don't care about those picks. They just want their 2023 picks. And so I looked at that dude, right? And I looked at that and I said, that's an overpay. That's way more than I want to pay. And in this league, I don't even need to do this. But if I hit that button, I own another share. Like, I'm in complete control. All I have to do is hit the button and I own another share. And that feeling just prevailed. I knew that he was going to have to be freaking 70% of Justin Jefferson to make that even worth it. So I knew that I was losing, at least right now. And I do feel like,
but at the same time, like, it's, you
can't, those picks are 2 years out, Swags.
Give you Elijah Moore for a first when some people just paid a first, even if it was a late first, mm-hmm. you know? So
yep.
to expect a little bit on top of that. Right. I get where he's coming from. And I mean, man, freaking Corey Davis is like, I just got rid of AJ Brown. Because that's how it's starting to feel, right?
Right, yeah. And I mean, I looked at the 2023 picks, dude, as like they're 2 years out before I even draft the guy, 3 years out before I maybe can start the guy. And I'm like, I have Elijah Moore now.
Yeah.
You know, I know people are in love with 2023, but those things change too. Like, well, we still have, you do, right? Though. Yeah.
That's the way you have to do it. Like, you have to get guys before they're at that.
Exactly.
Where they are today. I mean, we mentioned today, too. Like, I'll skip to somebody that's actually not on our notes, but just like for context, you mentioned Elijah Moore in preseason, and you were trying to avoid that, we'll say, hype. But we're really seeing it happen now and before preseason. But earlier today, we were talking about Nico Collins and how he's almost like unobtainable. And it's just because, and so that buzz is so seriously real that sometimes if you don't get ahead of it, even Nico Collins, like, you know, and I'm not comparing these players or anything like that.
Right. The Claypool buzz.
Yeah, a lot of it is that Claypool buzz and that around that. And I get it, man. Like, I do. But it does get to this point where it's like, come on, man. Like,
well, keep in mind, I remember two wide receivers that I liked and that we talked about quite a bit. We continue to talk about one of them. Brian Edwards had this kind of buzz. And even Van Jefferson. Remember the buzz Van Jefferson had? So camp buzz, and I kind of want to just give a quick disclaimer about camp news real quick before we go too much further in it. And is, I do believe that it sways people too much. I think that's absolutely true. But I do also believe that that good camp news can be overblown and overvalued, but it is a whole hell of a lot better than bad camp news. Like, you do not want to hear Denzel Mims type camp news, right? You want to hear Elijah Moore camp news. That moves the needle when you hear it over and over again. And I think you pointed out, Swags, when you hear it from different sources, not just the beat writers, but the players. Players are big. Coaches are saying it. Quarterbacks are saying it about their wide receivers. That's when it becomes less camp news, and I'm putting up air quotes, and a little bit more factual for me, like something I can actually kind of bank on and bank for. So, you know, we're going to be doing camp news for the next 4 or 5 weeks until the season starts. So, you know, Swags and I are the last people that are going to get drastically swayed by it. Now, are we going to get excited on Rookie Fever? Hell yeah. So don't confuse excitement by getting swayed by it.
Right, right. We've learned to temper our expectations. I like that you mentioned that, though, like the player talk, the coach talk, beat writers. And because I do, like, for me, there's a huge difference in that. And man, Fanero, and I'm with you. I'm trying to not get too excited about little things. But like I did mention this, we talked about Nico Collins earlier today. And we've been talking about Nico Collins for a while. We liked his size. We liked his comp. He had his senior year off because of COVID. He's been on our radar. So to see him start showing up was really nice. We saw the beat reports, the coach talk, but the one that like it went for me that kind of like was the one was seeing Brandon Cooks really like him and kind of saying like he looks like a man. He doesn't even look like a kid. Like he's out here. Like he sounds like he's going to be the wide receiver too on a team that desperately needs some more targets.
Yeah, Nico's a big boy. He goes back to that. That old school wide receiver that I always fall for. It seems to be less of a thing these days, but opportunity over there in Houston.
Mm-hmm. So that was the one that got me a little bit more, but still I'm not just like going out of my way, like to call him Chase Claypool. Like there still has to be like some kind of floor pricing in there for me to go that direction, you know, and I've already got some Nico Collins. So it's exciting to see for sure. But I mean, I told you about the trade I sent today.
Yeah. Couldn't make it happen. Right.
Where I sent Traquan Smith, Chuba Hubbard for Nico Collins after my other trade was rejected. And in our Rookie Fever chat, we all three agreed that like, yeah, that first one probably should have been accepted. And I was like, well, I'm trying to this without Quentin Cephas, because that's what the first one was.
To the CMC owner for reference.
To the CMC owner. Yes. Thank you. And I'm just thinking like, man, this is where Chuba Hubbard should be, in my opinion, in case, because I think he's better than Mike Davis, honestly.
I agree.
So if anything were to happen, that's the guy you want. And now I'm charging you more. You're giving me more than Nico Collins if that injury happens. I think it was a very fair offer. I was surprised it was rejected. To each their own. I got no issue with that, but that's where the hype is gone. Like, a few weeks ago, I could have made that happen for probably just Chuba Hubbard, which also means I've adhered to some hype myself. So I need to practice what I preach a little bit, but yeah, didn't get done. So we'll see. But after that, like, where can I go with that? Where can I go with that offer? That
yeah, you can't. Yeah, you have to kind of,
you know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you explore, you know, which is the weaker part of that. Like, is he, you know, just totally down on Traquan Smith and doing what you're doing, just trying to get out of shares? Like, maybe he just had zero interest in that, and now all he's getting is Chuba. But Traquan has value right now. So, you know, maybe you're causing more work for him, but he gets his backup running back and then a trade piece. And I would argue that Traquan Smith still has a little time to gain value. It won't be significant, but he does have some time to gain value. So if you were to trade for him and you don't even like the guy, I think he can get out pretty quick too. Like, I'm talking like week three, week four, if you want to get out.
Yeah. Let's talk about some Rashad Bateman, Hollywood Brown, already out.
Yeah, so there's two significant, or I shouldn't say significant. There's two injuries that we're going to talk about in as part of this camp news section with that are related to our rookies, and obviously Bateman's been getting buzz of his own, and with Marquise Brown getting what's being now called a more significant hamstring injury than thought, those kind of things can really linger. Now, he's got time. He's got plenty of time to rest. But I would argue that's exactly all the kind of chemistry Bateman would need. 4 weeks of chemistry without Brown on the field is just going to kind of force feed Bateman a little bit in these preseason games. Also, I just think it could be, for someone like Marquise Brown in particular that relies on his speed, a long ongoing problem throughout the beginning part of the season. I'm not saying the whole season, but the beginning part of the season. And now Bateman's getting more looks in real games, which is obviously now fantasy production. So I thought that one kind of popped for me. We'll see just how bad that hamstring is. I mean, I think they come in like degrees. Like, I don't think I've saw like just how bad it is, but they are concerned about it.
What about Sammy Watkins?
Yeah, so Sammy Watkins is brought up in that same exact camp news section where it's like basically the two of them fighting for the one spot with the absence of Brown. I know that you're higher on Watkins than I am.
For the year.
Yep, for the year. But with that being said, I think people are sleeping on him, you know, quite a bit. It's Watkins is funny. Like, there's his talent, his situation, the fact that he changed, and his own inability to stay healthy, right? Mm-hmm. So there's just all these, like, concerns where I just don't. Now I have new concerns about the other wide receiver on the team, and I have zero concerns about Bateman, and I'm excited, and I have rookie fever, and I want to see him play, and I'm obviously projecting him to do his ceiling, which is unrealistic. Yeah, but I mean,
Bateman's been injured too.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm sorry, you're right. There's just a lot of things kind of lining up, I think, where we're going to get a little bit more Bateman than maybe we thought. Like, when he got drafted to Baltimore, we all sighed.
Yeah. But, you know, the one thing that, man, I'm still here, so I'm just going to be me.
Do it.
The one thing that still concerns me, I mean, because we see these highlights of Bateman, like, Bateman looks good. Bateman is a stud, okay? But the one thing, I mean, just because we're seeing these highlights in practice, which is what a wide receiver is supposed to be doing, doesn't mean that the Ravens are all of a sudden going to throw it as much more as, you know what I mean? Like, that's right. Still, like, one of my issues as far as our fantasy production goes is how much will there be to go around versus how much do those wide receivers help the team? Even similar to, like, Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. and Donovan Peoples-Jones. Mm-hmm. In that same regard, because at any time, I think they can just turn to the run. But very similar here with this situation, like, that's still going to be my concern with Bateman until I see that return in actual production. And I'm not just talking like wide receiver two, wide receiver. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Some consistency that we can start. I want that from that Ravens offense. And we haven't really had that. Even with Mark Andrews last year, there was no consistent starter to rely on. So that's what that's still my problem until we see it. Bateman has looked awesome, though. Totally awesome. Like, there's definitely, I have no shares of Bateman. Most people that listen to Rookie Fever a lot probably are like, yeah, no shit. We know. But I, you know, watching it, it has been made me like maybe I was a little bullish, you know, and like you say, you know, we can't get too focused on these situations or teams at this point. You know, I'm not going out to get Bateman though after the camp buzz. Same with like we said about Elijah Moore and what I've tried to get him this last week, and then Nico Collins. Like it's going to be the same thing with Bateman, but I'd still prefer your Elijah Moore, my Jalen Waddle, Dave's Rondell Moore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, the one share that we were talking about recently that I got of Elijah Moore, that team drafted Moore over all of those wide receivers. I'm sorry, not Waddle. So Waddle and Smith were gone because they usually are.
Oh, wow.
In that next group, Bateman, Moore, meaning Rondell Moore, Terrace Marshall, that whole group, that particular team liked Elijah Moore so much, they drafted him in front of all those other guys. So they were earlier to the party than maybe even I was, and I still was able to pry him away from that owner. And even today, I received a text about regret on that trade. So
because they wish they had Elijah Moore back already.
Yeah, yeah. They knew when they were making the deal that it was the smart thing for their team, but they still, you know, I think they said they still want to be right about this player. But the reason they were a little more able to get rid of him in this trade was that they owned another share in another league. Like, in fact, like when they were considering the trade, they said that. And it's like, you're probably going to get this guy from me because it's best for my team. And I happen to own another share of him. So like, it's not gonna be my only share.
Yeah. Which sometimes helps, you know, and
oh yeah.
I mean, I even have, so I tried to trade away my share of Pitts again, Kyle Pitts, and I was rejected.
Really?
And it wasn't just Kyle Pitts. I want to be fair to the situation. I asked for Dobbins, TJ Hockenson, and a 2020. I don't know if it was a 22 or a 23. So stay with me. I asked for Dobbins, Hockenson, and a first future. And I was going to give this individual Kyle Pitts and Derrick Henry. So I'm not really surprised it was rejected with Henry's age and also wanting a first back. I shot my shot, you know, and then, you know, when it was over, I have so much Hockenson and I like him so much. And that's my only share of Pitts. I think I'm just going to hold tight.
Yeah.
As people come to me at this point. And, yeah, and that's being like really honest. Idea. No ploy. If by chance the person I traded with is listening, I think I'm just going to sit tight, maybe dodge a bullet just to have a share of Pitts. I mean, Pitts also, I mean, we might as well skip to him. I mean, dude, he is a beast. Like yeah. Seeing him in camp, the way he's going to be a physical specimen, it reminded me of what I said weeks back when I gave my lofty projections of Pitts, and I was kind of like, he's this year's Justin Jefferson. That's what I think he could do, and I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that people like to say with Pitts all the time is, even if he was, and I believe they refer to Evan Ingram and his rookies, even if he was Evan Ingram, he's not going to have those Justin Jefferson numbers that you're talking about. But I think the mistake people are making when they say that is, I just don't think Atlanta's going to use him in any way like a tight end. I mean,
not all the time. I agree.
And just like you said, this is the vacated target show, and there are a lot of vacated Julio Jones targets.
How did I forget about that?
So, you know, I just feel like we have to rethink this a little bit when it comes to no tight end in their rookie season can have that type of production. If they're just going to plain old use them like a wide receiver and they're going to have an inline tight end like Hurst,
yeah,
which they can afford to do,
yes,
and just brought him out there at wide receiver. There were people that said maybe besides Chase, if he was a wide receiver, he would be the number two or one in this class, if he was a wide receiver. So if that's true, we know what Matt Ryan can do. We know what that team can do. We know how they're dedicated to the pass. They always have been. It just makes a lot of sense for him to be able to reach that ceiling that a lot of people think a quote unquote tight end can't do in their rookie season. I think we just need to look at him as a wide receiver. If you do that, you'll retrain your brain and say, all right, no, I could totally see him getting 1,100 or 1,200 yards this season.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and find that episode. And I'm glad that you brought up Hayden Hurst, because what a cheap go-get tight end option, tight end premium or not, because I believe in the role that you just created for Kyle Pitts. Like, I like that narrative, and we don't know what's going to happen, but I could really foresee what you said happening. And then they have Hayden Hurst, who's a year more comfortable in that offense this year. He's no Kyle Pitts. He's no Hockenson. He's not a lot of things, but he's very like admirable at that position and completely underrated. You have to remember, and I know it doesn't matter at this point, but he was drafted before Mark Andrews by the Ravens.
Yes, he was.
So I'm actually kind of rooting for him, but at what price, I don't know. But I think they've got a decent enough tight end to where they can afford to use Kyle Pitts the way you just said. Like, that was part of the reason I think they were okay trading Julio.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think the other thing was just a salary cap thing. But let me ask you a question. You said you own no Bateman.
No Bateman.
I bet I'm able to say you also don't own any Devonta Smith.
No, I don't.
I figured. So he's missing 2 or 3 weeks with an MCL injury. Now, all the jokes are coming out. I've even seen, you know, zooming in on the small framed legs and saying, oh, gee, didn't see this coming. what I will say, being here in Philadelphia, is it does seem like anyone close to the Eagles is zero concerned about him missing the next 2 or 3 weeks, because he is as advertised across the board. Very, very, very excited in Philadelphia with Smith. So now it just comes down to, you know, Jalen Hurts, you know, what, you know, for me, I feel like you never know, man, right? You can get like amazing college production, even from a quarterback. I mean, Tim Tebow is one of the best college quarterbacks of all time. You just never know if it translates, right? I think Smith is absolutely going to translate. So now it's just the situation for me. So I feel like there's a little bit of with this camp news, which seems very negative to me. It has brought up a lot of positive news about Smith. So I'm not as concerned. Am I concerned about him missing 3 weeks right now? Absolutely. He might be ready for week one. Of course that's concerning. But there's a lot of great wide receivers that started off their rookie careers just like this. Odell Beckham being one of them. They all, it's not a deal breaker, I guess is what I'm saying. 2 or 3 weeks with this kind of injury is not a deal breaker.
Has this news made you attempt to acquire any more shares for your teams?
No.
Do you think there's a ease of buy window here?
Maybe. And I love that term. I think, did you coin that, by the way?
I should.
Yeah, I think you should. Ease of buy window.
It's being used by people out there everywhere.
Yeah. You should just trade.
Sound like they don't know where it came from.
Exactly.
I see you.
You have to start trademarking your shit because, I mean,
start blocking people actually. Like, you're going to have to either hear it here or not just on Twitter.
Exactly.
Like, block all the people that take your ideas and block the people that, quote, tweet you negatively.
You do this long enough, you get real sensitive about certain terms. And, like, that's not a buy low. Him being injured for 2 to 3, it's just not a buy low.
Buy low. Yeah.
It's not a buy low. So what the fuck is it?
Yeah, yeah. Totally, dude. Yeah.
It's an ease of buy or easier buy. Like, that's what it is.
Taylor.
Yeah. Or a window to buy. Something in that regard. For example, Barkley has been in that category for about a year now. You know, like, he was, when he came out, he was untouchable. Like, you just have to give away a king's ransom to get Barkley. But then there was an ease of buy that's been going on for, I mean, year plus, really.
Yeah. That's just it. Yeah. Now there's more news that he might miss the first week or two.
Right. Right.
People do math weird when they hear that players are missing time, especially this time of year.
Like
you mentioned with Devonta Smith, who I'm lower on than consensus, but still great example here. You hear he's missing 2 to 3 weeks and you're like, well, he could still play in the preseason.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, he's missing valuable time right now in camp, but he still could play in the preseason.
Like, absolutely.
Same with Kenny Galladay, 2 to 3 weeks. He could still play in the preseason.
Yep.
Carson Wentz, 5 to 11 weeks. 5 weeks has him ready for week one, you know? So
I hate that window, by the way. Most people do. That window is ridiculous. 5 to 12.
But that window was also created before the surgery.
Yes.
And they said that surgery was best case. All they did was removed a loose bone. So, I mean, you have to think, like, the timetables, they're going to give you that 5 to 11 weeks. They want him to heal right. But you got to put it, I'm putting it at 5 to 7.
Speaking about that, and we're jumping all over the place. Is there an ease of buy on Taylor?
There is. It's crazy.
Why?
His ADP is already
blind.
Dude, what? People are crazy. Like, they're like, he lost his center. He lost his quarterback. You know, the same people that are saying he lost his quarterback are now saying that Wentz sucked anyway.
Yeah,
that just gives them room to, like, that's one of the most, like, confusing things to
it
me.
It really is.
Like, well, why weren't you honest the whole time if you thought this? Like, everybody was like, Jonathan Taylor's going to be this and that because he's got Wentz, the offensive line. I agree with all of that still, by the way.
Sure.
But now there's people that are just like, he's done because he lost Wentz. And then they're like, well, Wentz sucks anyway.
Yep.
It's just crazy to me. I don't understand, like, the way this world works. Like, yeah. We saw what he did last year. In not every situation he was in throughout the season was ideal, right. And he persevered. And people just are so, like, fickle on how they feel about things, and just, like, they just enjoy, like, shitting on nice things. And
you're gonna tell me,
weird to me,
a younger Wentz is better than a just retired Rivers? That's or isn't as good. Like, how is that not? I mean, let's just call him even, which I think is unfair to Wentz. But
well, Philip Rivers checks down all the time.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
So good.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. That's, you're right. That's all Jonathan Taylor did was catch the ball last year. Everyone's right. Like, what the hell? Like, he's a fantasy darling, and then all of a sudden Wentz goes down, and it's like, you know, he's dropping significantly. Like, I was hearing today, like, you can't possibly draft him in the first round anymore. It's just like, really? Like, when, what? I don't get this. And like you said, the timetable has Wentz back as early as week one.
Yeah. Yeah. People are just done with him. Not everybody, honestly. Like, and I kind of, like, I made that point the other day. I think it was yesterday, just kind of saying, like, you know what? Like, and this is my advice. I'll say it on the show like this. If you're going to send an offer out for Jonathan Taylor, that offer is going to be similar, if not the same, as you would have sent 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yes. Yes.
You just may have an easier chance now.
Therefore, ease of buy.
Ease of buy. You're not going out there and getting Jonathan Taylor for Miles Sanders or.
Could not agree more.
I don't know, man. Just like, and it's just, it's weird to me. People are like, Austin Eckler's going to be better. Silly things. Like, when has that ever happened? So I wanted to, like, make sure to like leave a little here for Dave, because Dave, I know, had a lot of quarterback information saved for the quarterback side.
That's
of the
true.
That we were planning. So we'll probably cut most of that out, but I do want to mention while we're here, Jacob Eason.
Yes.
And he hasn't looked so good at times. He finally looked a little bit better today. But same time, you know, I get back into it. Like, even in my head, when I'm wanting to buy him for maybe my Wentz teams. And the same thing we just talked about. I mean, so what do we have? Like, there's a chance I buy him from you and I never use him because Wentz is back.
Yes.
And then, like, or he doesn't look good all through camp, and then Wentz is still back week one or two. Like, do you really, what do you want to waste on that? Like, what's the probability that Jacob Eason helps your team?
I'm going to slaughter this guy's name, and I should know he's a rookie, but they're hyping up Ellinger now.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? That's how like on.
I don't think you did that bad. I mean, I slaughtered.
Is that close? Is that close? Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but this is not somebody that was on our radar.
Just in case it's like Travis Kelce, who was. Saying he was really Kels, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, you know, I've met his brother.
Some,
like,
people think you're Finaro.
I work with his brother. I've filmed his brother, Jason, here in Philadelphia, I don't know, 10 or 20 times, somewhere in that range. Hmm. And they're saying that he calls himself, what is it again?
Kels?
Yeah, I'll ask him. I don't think so.
Hey, there's some family history. We need to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, I'll ask. He's cool as hell, dude. He's so cool. Like, I could actually have a full-on conversation about that with him, and he would just be, like, totally, like, straight with me.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah,
I mean, Kelce seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, they're both cool.
Well, he's Kelce, too.
Yeah.
Kelce and Kelce seem.
But Jason's the only one I can vouch for, but yes, Travis seems pretty damn cool.
So Devonta Smith still, but so it's giving Rager a chance to show that he's still not very good. He had a big play today that everybody's going crazy about. Like, I mean, how are you feeling about Rager? Like, should we give him more of a chance? Like,
the only thing that moved the needle for me a tiny bit with Rager was moving him to the slot. and having Devonta Smith on the team. So Rager's not forced to be the one on this team. He can be comfortably the two, and he can work more in a position. And I don't know, to be quite honest with you, if the slot's more suited for him. I've been told that it is, but I can't tell you from my own experience the slot is more suited for Jalen Rager. But what I do know is it's different than what he did last year. So anything different from last year sounds really freaking good to me. The offensive line is supposed to be better. The quarterback is different. His position in the wide receiver core will be different. His relationship and other wide receivers around him will be different. So the more different happens with Jalen Rager, the more it moves the needle a tad for me. I don't like, and I know Dave, I squashed him a little bit last time we were on with Dave, and Dave did warn me. He's like, hey man, like 1 year doesn't necessarily kill a guy, especially like Rager and the Eagles had a lot of different things going on. So including some injuries for Rager. So I don't know, man, his value is significantly lower, but everywhere I have him, it's a hold. I mean, I'm not going to get anything. So I'm hoping that, you know, Devonta Smith can be one of those pieces that
heartstrings. Finero,
where's that?
Has more fantasy points this year, Jalen Rager or Travis Fulgham?
Rager.
It's tough, huh? That's tough,
huh? Yeah, it was. I told you I'm not high on him. Can't move him either, though. I have a team where I own both Smith and Rager. That one sucks.
Mm.
I don't want that.
Yeah, I think I've got one share of Rager at this point.
Yeah.
And I think I'm kind
you're
of
holding. Like, I'm holding. Yeah, you got to hold. You know, yeah, probably. What are you going to do with it?
I did show you the trade I sent the other day, though.
Mm-hmm.
And this was before we had all the news of Galladay, but I sent Rager and Galladay for your crush, Elijah Moore, and I was rejected.
Yeah, that surprises me a little bit. But people are down on Galladay. They really are down hard, including yourself.
Yeah, well, I have been. Mm-hmm. I acquired this share in a move that I made, selling some other players and acquiring some other players, like that I wanted to make some trades that it almost put me in a regret mode because now I have this Galladay share again, but I'm still with you too. Like it gets to this point where you're just like, man, I can't just give him to you. He's right. Still under contract. We right. have to see what's going to happen.
Brand new contract.
Like you said, there's going to be a better sell window for him than there is today if you want to get rid of him. But I am a little bit worried. You have to start to wonder if Matthew Stafford made him and then the injuries kind of piling in. I'm a little concerned. Yeah.
Well, look, you have to immediately say there's a quarterback downgrade.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, I don't know how many people would argue there. And then on top of it, you have the whole situation where it's a new offense.
Mm-hmm.
So you have those two things combined. I mean, there's reasons to be concerned. I personally am not willing to go as far as Stafford made him. I'm not right. there. I'm not there. I'm not saying you're wrong. That remains to be seen. But
I hear that. Yeah.
But for me, I do believe Galladay is a talent.
So were those targets in Detroit vacated or did he earn them?
Oh, he earned them. It's all about perspective. Speaking about earning, did you hear the news about Ramondre Stevenson?
I did.
Patriots beat writer Zach Cox says to running back coach of 30 years, Ivan Fears, asks a simple question. What does rookie Ramondre Stevenson need to do to improve his game? Ivan replies, everything. Now, for a little while, I've been saying that regardless of Stevenson's talent, that he wouldn't see much playing time this year at all, because I just feel that that's how New England handles rookies. And I think that's how he's going to be handled for the people who are thinking that they're going to not only get somebody that might spell right. Harris. No, he's going to win the job is what I was hearing. Right. And this is just a soundbite, you know, so I'm not taking it again. Remember, we're having fun with this, guys. Like I'm not saying this is a fact, but that's not something you want to hear. Back to my earlier thought, right? You don't want negative stuff.
Exactly, dude. That's what
I don't want negative
like,
stuff.
Regress back to what we said at the beginning of the story, like, or it's the story, the show, like the coach talk, player talk.
Yeah.
And then beat reporters.
Right.
Coach talk.
Yeah.
Once you hear negative stuff.
Yeah. That running backs coach.
Even like, we won't stay here, but it's just a good example that's in my head. But even like Jamal Williams, for example, it's not like the coach is just going to sign the guy to a contract and be like, we made a huge mistake.
Right.
He sucks. You know, right. Don't really know what we were thinking. Like, he's really nice. But obviously, we messed this one up. And I'm not saying they think that. I'm obviously exaggerating.
You're saying they're, of course, they're going to say nice things. Right. I got you. Like, right.
You know, now that he's here and on the team, he has no role. He's pretty pissed about that. You know what I mean? Like, for some reason, he thought he was better than DeAndre Swift. We had to let him know when he got here. So that's been weird.
And probably what they're doing is they got there and go, oh my God, Swift is amazing. It's probably what they really found out. Yeah. Like, Swift is really good. We don't need this other guy. What are they going to do? Say that? No.
Right.
And you need depth in the NFL. Backups.
Yeah.
We just said the same as I think. You need depth.
Yeah. So, but it's not like the coaches are just going to like, it's the negative talk though, that's the talk I hear.
Well, speaking of depth, and now reversing it to positive thought, we have a lot of people spending their fab on Xavier Jones because camp talk that came out was Jordan Rodriguez. Yes, that's it. Said that the Rams will deploy a backfield, and there comes the big C word, committee of sorts, to alleviate Darrell Henderson of a full workload. Boom, everyone runs out, get Xavier Jones. I think I saw you pick up a share with blind bidding dollars, or try to? I can't remember.
In Predators, I got Funk and Xavier
Jones.
And we have open waivers there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to move a couple things around, and I picked them both up for free and the same day.
This is something I liked what in that same exact camp news article, Rodriguez pointed out that Henderson.
You just like to say his name.
I want to say it right, and I'm saying it like ridiculously wrong by trying to say it right. Turns 24 this month and has not ever been a true workhorse going all the way back to high school. He didn't have to say that.
No.
He didn't have to say that. Well, we just got done saying, like, what are they going to do? Say something bad about the guy? He didn't need to say that. He said something bad. He totally felt like doing it. And I just keep hearing that we're talking about Xavier Jones and Funk getting first team reps, too. Like, it's not like Henderson.
Decent.
Yeah. So, I mean, now it's up to, like, are they any good? I mean, these are late draft picks. So, but if you're going to pick them up for fab, dude, like, that's free.
But I mean, you have to think, I mean, at what point, if the Rams were going to pick up or sign somebody else, it seems like they would have wanted to try to at least get them in camp to play a little bit and see what they've got in them.
I'm glad you brought that up.
They're probably looking to see what these guys have. And then.
Yes. And one big thing coming up very soon, roster cuts.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no real need to bring in these old dudes with bad knees. When we have significant roster cuts happening next week, guys. Next week, we're cutting down from 90-something down to 53. Now, they have a two-week period to do it. And I know you're not big on this name, but players like Sony Michel was a previous first-round draft pick, younger than Gurley, maybe better knees, who knows? It's debatable. But the point is, there's going to be players that are going to just get outright cut.
Sure.
That are younger, that might produce a little bit more upside for them, a little bit more interesting than the retread that's out there right now.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point.
But I agree. They want to see what they have before that market opens, for sure. Yeah.
I've wondered that about teams like the Lions and the wide receiver position, too.
Yeah.
They're kind of waiting to see, like,
who I think they are.
You know, or trade possibilities open up within that time for cheaper buys before people get cut.
We're gonna have a lot to talk about during that time period. That's going to be another really fun time period is there's going to be backfields that change, wide receiver rooms that change. There's going to be some shifting. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, like, every team is going to go through it, but there's going to be the teams where you're going, well, who are they going to throw to? Like, that those teams are going to pick up somebody, and even if it's a camp body,
yep,
or a preseason body.
No, I hear you. Travis Etienne, supposedly uncoverable in camp.
You never hear about the guy running between the tackles, though, do you? You only hear about this guy catching the ball.
Well, it's even like when we were talking about Bateman, like, nobody's showing highlights of Sammy Watkins. It doesn't matter what he does. You know, they want to give you what you want to see, and nobody wants to see Sammy Watkins do.
Right.
But with that said, I mean, me being high on James Robinson, I mean, are we that surprised that Travis Etienne looks good in camp?
No, of course not.
Is.
No, definitely not.
I I traded away that one share of Clyde Edwards-Helaire I had for Travis Etienne and felt good about it.
Nice.
Moment, you know, so.
Oh, I really like that move, dude. And that's great.
That, like, I'm glad we have this platform to explain things, you know, and that we've been able to, or I've been able to, but even being high on James Robinson, I think at the beginning of that, it made it sound like I was really low on Etienne.
Yes, and, yes it did.
It's never the case, you know, nope. But like, I think that they're going to run the shit out of that ball.
Yeah, I think they are too. And keep in mind, this is the other thing. I really feel like I need to say this, like every time we talk about the Jaguars, people are just really, really forgetting Trevor Lawrence and how much he can run on his own. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying that that helps Etienne. You know, I'm not bringing it up for that reason. I'm just bringing it up because I just feel like when we talk about the running game in Jacksonville, we talk about two players and we never talk about Trevor Lawrence. And I think that's just wrong, really wrong, because these quarterbacks with legs, especially in the rookie season, that's their default mode. They go to it. Right. Because they don't have full command and totally understand what's now. Trevor Lawrence is one of those guys that might have it more than most. Granted, but he also has the gift to run the ball, too. I wouldn't be surprised. We keep talking about how this offense is so inventive that there aren't plenty of designed runs. So there's going to be a lot of rushing yards on this team split up between those three guys. So I like hearing that Etienne is going to be a part of the passing game as well, absolutely, because he's going to get his.
Yeah. And a lot of times that's just it too. Like even when we talk about somebody like Antonio Gibson, like I'll speak for myself. When I talk about somebody like Antonio Gibson, it's not that I have a problem with Antonio Gibson. It's that I have a problem with consensus, or I have a problem with how much everybody else feels about him, you know? So you try to be that voice that tempers it and it makes it sound like you hate a player. Yes.
Right.
I don't. And, you know, like because of how people feel about him, he's a player I don't have on any of my teams because I've capitalized to things that I feel better about.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get some of those situations with like a Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Antonio Gibson, or even like James Robinson. Like, I understand that he's not going to be RB6 or RB7 this year, but I also understand that he's not just going away.
Right.
And at the beginning, when Travis Etienne was drafted.
Oh, yeah.
He was going.
He was dead. Yeah, he was dead.
Dead.
Yes.
Like, I was an idiot. Not by you,
yep,
or Dave or anybody,
yep,
here.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's like, oh, James Robinson's going to be there. He might have more rushing yards than Etienne. And it's like, well,
yeah, they came
honestly,
around.
It's a freaking chance of that, guys. Like, you don't sound smart today. Like, just because you got comfortable talking in public.
Yeah, they've come around, and not just you. I mean, I can turn on Sirius XM. I mean, everyone seems to be on board for the two of them to have roles together. And I do think that Robinson's dynasty value took a hit with a first round running back for sure. And I think people did absolutely overreact. I did too. I won't lie. You converted me every single time you mentioned it. I got closer. So I got closer than most people did. It took people longer because I have you by my side. But I will also, just to give you your due, you did disclaim every single time that it doesn't mean you hate Etienne. You said that over and over and over again, because you have, I would say in most cases, when you like a player like a Justin Jefferson, I remember you really liked him coming out. It was because you hated Thielen, to be honest, right? Like, so you typically you typically like a guy, especially in a situation where you dislike a guy, and that makes sense, right? You dislike a dude, and somebody that you like a lot more goes to that you know, that team. It makes a lot of sense. They're going to step on them to lift themselves up. But in this case, you never did that. You never said, I hate Etienne. That's why I still love Robinson. You're all wrong. You just simply said, don't bury this man yet. He's a good running back. Like, he's going to get his. Like, don't be trading him away for nothing. You're warning people, like, whoa, chill out. If anything, buy.
Yeah. A good example, like the reverse of that, is Antonio Gibson, because I knew for a fact that Washington was going to be drafting at least somebody like Trey Sermon, if not Williams or Etienne. I thought that was a great – and that was because of how I feel about Gibson, and still do, to be completely honest with you. And so that's still going to be part of my concern with Antonio Gibson in the dynasty landscape is moving forward, not just like this seasonal approach, you know. So a good example of that is I was wrong. Washington felt great going into this season with Antonio Gibson, McKissick,
yeah.
Peyton Barber. Let's right. not forget about Peyton Barber. You're all going to hate Peyton Barber this year, by the way, when he's taking touches away that you didn't expect him to take away. And they're not going to be a lot, but they're going to frustrate you. You're going to be like, why in the hell did they just give it to Peyton Barber again? Give it to Gibson. And that's going to happen a lot this year. It's going to be really frustrating for fantasy owners, but you're going to get used to it. And you're going to see that, like, Gibson's still going to have a safe floor. It's just not going to produce a weekly ceiling that we're expecting. I'm talking like this is factual when it's actually not. This is my narrative. So,
well, to your point, part of that narrative was that Washington felt good enough about their running back room. Right. I know for a fact it's come out that Miami wasn't comfortable with their running back room. Williams didn't fall to them. So now they have to be. Yeah. We don't know what happened in Washington. We don't know who they were eyeing up and just couldn't get. Like, that's not public knowledge. But it came out that Miami really wanted Williams, and Williams was snatched up before they picked. We all thought that Miami was going to pick a running back.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that we understand the narrative completely and that Washington's totally happy. Because I would argue, even if they are happier than you think they are with Gibson, they absolutely needed depth.
Sure.
McKissick and Barber are not depth.
Right. I mean, McKissick.
I know. I knew that was going to hit you wrong, but.
No, you're right. I mean, he's not going to take a ton of touches on the ground away from Gibson, but I think he is going to continue to get some of those.
Oh, I do too.
Third downs.
Yeah.
And people are going to keep wanting Gibson in there. And he was the highest targeted running back in the league last year. That'll go down. But that's not just going away.
That's usually related to the quarterback.
Injured, you know?
Yeah.
Those were earned.
So McKissick's going to be 28.
Those were earned.
McKissick's going to be 28 in August. So they need a running back, whether you like him or not.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Oh, I don't like him like the future.
Right.
I like him.
Well, that's what I mean.
It's going to take a little.
That's what I'm saying. Like this, we as fantasy owners, we were saying there was no running backs in this class. Right. So they didn't have the draft capital to pull off one of those top three guys, and they didn't believe in Carter and they moved on. Like, that's mm-hmm. fine. Gibson was good. Gibson was very good. They're not going to reach for a Michael Carter if they didn't believe in him. So instead they wound up going, okay, next year. That you could be more right next year than you seem to be right now. Like, and my only point is, like, as part of your narrative that you're stringing along there, we're assuming that they weren't interested. I'm just saying maybe they were.
Sure.
This was the wrong draft class.
Yeah. No, I hear that. I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
I like anything that supports what I'm saying.
How about the running back news of Trey Sermon and Elijah Mitchell? Did you see that? So,
yeah.
So Trey Sermon, Kermit. Currently, the number two running back on the depth chart behind Raheem Mostert, simply because Sermon's definitely getting most of the reps, looked very, very good, clearly belongs with the starters, blah, 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 blah. Then right after that, as well as Sermon has played, Mitchell, meaning Elijah Mitchell, has played even better. He is currently the second best running back on the team after Mostert. I mean, that's
saying a lot.
So who knows? I mean, Mostert's going to play, what, two games before he gets hurt? And then Trey Sermon and Elijah Mitchell battle it out.
I mean, honestly, and I don't want to be a jerk, but the beat reporter here
yes.
did the right thing in saying that he was second best running back on yes. the team after Mostert, but he lied. He lied when he said that. So if he believes Mitchell's that good, Mitchell's the best running back on the team in this person's opinion.
Right.
Followed by Trey Sermon.
Yeah.
Mostert's just number one on the depth chart. That's what he has to say. That's not going to last long. Sermon's going to overtake him.
I know.
And Mitchell's going to be right behind him.
Let me ask you a question. So in Scott Fish, I drafted Elijah Mitchell like with one of my last picks.
Nice.
And I kind of feel like that's what you should be doing. You know, you should be getting like running backs that have a chance late.
Preston Williams.
Right. You don't need a sixth or seventh wide receiver in Scott Fish. What you need is upside play. So, but he's also a hard person to hold. And waivers are, I think, are every Wednesday. So like every Wednesday we can sit there and replace a guy. So he's the lowest guy on the totem pole on my team, in my opinion. And I almost dropped him. And it was for like, I can't even remember who it was at the time, but I think it was like, might have been AJ Green or something like that. And again, like, do I really need a sixth wide receiver on that team? No, I think I got to hold on to Elijah Mitchell. But this camp news, just that little tiny bit of crap actually stopped me from dropping. Yeah. And I don't, again, I think it was somebody like AJ.
Damn it, I wish I drafted Preston Williams so I could drop him.
Yeah, yeah. Why didn't I just draft somebody like that so I could just drop them quick and easy? But the other thing I noticed, dude, like, and I digress a little bit, but I was looking at UDFAs from last year, dude. There's like over 100, and it's James Robinson. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And I'm getting excited about Jarrett Patterson. We're all getting excited about Javian Hawkins, you know. There's a really good chance, guys, that they're nobody, like absolutely nobody. So be careful when you're thinking about like doing a nice little drop ad about somebody that can actually give you fantasy points and hanging on to these UDFAs. And you know, I love me some Jarrett Patterson, but that, you know what that is, man? That's chasing me wanting to be right about something. That's what that is. That's not me chasing Jarrett Patterson. That's me wanting to be right. That's all that is.
It is. I get what you're saying and why you're saying it that way. But it's also like in those moments when you're ready and you realize like how maybe you're being foolish. And I'm not saying you are.
I am.
But maybe you're being foolish. And then you get that in your head. As soon as I drop him, something's going to happen. As soon as I drop Todd Gurley.
Fear of missing out.
It's going to be like signed on a team where I could at least get a third or fourth.
Fear of missing out.
And everybody's going to pick him up.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? And by all means, like I should go into all my leagues. As soon as we're done with the show, drop every share of Todd Gurley that I have and just be freaking done with it.
Yeah, you should.
But I can tell you.
He's going to get signed somewhere.
It's not going to happen. I just can't, dude. I've tried. Like, I have so many rosters where I'm like, man, I need to make a cut here. I need to make a freaking cut.
Yeah.
Like, why don't I need to get rid of Todd Gurley?
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't do it. I just keep waiting for that little small piece of hope where, like I said, I can even just get a third or a fourth. So it's getting close to that point where once waivers start going here, there's going to eventually be somebody where I'm like, I'm done, you know. But I just have a hard time believing these guys don't get signed.
Dude, I we all have the same problem. Don't put yourself in that bubble. So just today, right, I'm watching our first preseason game, Dallas and Pittsburgh, right? We finally get a little bit of Harris. Harris's first run is for a first down for 5 yards. Nice. Looks
how
the part.
Did we skip over Harris? I'm glad we brought him up.
You know, like, so I'm looking at Dallas and I'm remembering that Dak's shoulders like messed up, right? And I'm like, who's the backup quarterback for Dallas? So this Gilbert guy's out there from you know, from the first snap, and Aikman comes on and says, well, Gilbert's the backup. Like he said, like it's a fact. And I go and I look at Predators, right? This is a very deep league, guys. Like we have 35 people each, 10 taxi spots. It's picking up a player in that league is tough. So anyway, I look and I see both backups are available on Predators. I'm like, well, anybody playing for Dallas has got CeeDee Lamb, Cooper. I mean, like all these pieces. Like, why does not anyone own this Gilbert guy? Like, I'm going to pick up Gilbert. Now, Gilbert looks like crap, by the way. Like, I mean, in this preseason game, this is not a good quarterback. And then later I hear Aikman say, right after, I swear to God, 30 minutes before, said Gilbert's the backup quarterback on the Dallas Cowboys, says, I don't think the backup for Dallas is on the team yet. and then brings up Phillip Rivers. Like, so I was this close to picking up Gilbert and dropping Puka Williams, who I have on that team, and I couldn't do it. It's a quarterback in a super flex league, a backup quarterback that I, in my mind, had just decided he was the backup quarterback for the Cowboys, and I couldn't drop Puka Williams?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Go look at my team, and it's very similar in that regard, but it's the tight ends, and we've talked about this before.
Yeah,
I own, like, second to, like, third string tight ends on teams just because they're young, and I'm hoping that they somehow find a role. Like, and after a while, you're like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
But then you go to do it, and you're just like, well, can I see, like – and that's why Marable was available for you, was because I was afraid to drop my tight ends for him. Just because I'm like creating these like outlandish narratives that need so much to happen. Just but you need tight ends in that league so much. It's ridiculous.
Just last week, and maybe we need to reflect on this. Just last week, a listener and longtime friend who hosted the show for us, Two Drink, pointed out that we can and have the uncanny ability where others don't to look back at our mistakes. Maybe we need to look at what we're talking about right now as just plain old mistakes. Like, maybe you need to let some of those tight ends go. Maybe I need to let Puka Williams go.
You go look at my team. and tell me who I'm going to pick up for those tight ends.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you.
You just mentioned, and I picked up Big Xavier Jones and Jake Funk.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
You know what I mean? It's tough, dude. And
I know.
And because another tough thing is our taxi is only available for college players.
Yeah, that's tough. Yep.
And the rosters aren't huge. And
you and I own no Debbie players.
No. What's the point?
We're win now teams. You won just last year.
I used my Debbie picks for Amon Ross. Oh, I said it wrong. Amon
Ross
St. Brown, who's also been looking pretty decent in camp.
That's what I keep hearing.
But who knows? Good things. Good things.
You want to hear good things. You don't want to hear bad things. And if you hear a lot of good things from a lot of different sources, that is a good thing.
Yeah. And, you know, the difference is, too, like, and this sounds really petty and weird, but you're not going to hear somebody like Rashad Pearman or Tyrell Williams boosting up the young guy that could take their job.
Correct. Because
Brandon Cooks knows that he's got that job, and he's going to be boosting up that young guy and being more honest about it because he's secure about his position. Those other guys are not.
In fact, what you're hearing is Tyrell Williams playing injured because he understands if he misses any time, he's gone.
Yeah.
That's what you hear about. He's got like a dislocated thumb or some shit like that. Like he has to play. He
hasn't even played in like a year and a half or something.
No, he can't miss time. He will just be cut. He can't miss time.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a tough one, man.
Speaking of time, dude, I forgot what it's like to be with you. An hour just flew by like that.
We didn't even talk about Rondale Moore. That's because we're so fun. Dave, you're lucky.
Rondale Moore. I mean, if Dave was here, if Dave was here, this would be an hour and a half show because
he's a closet Cardinals fan, and that's half the reason he's playing Carmen Sandiego.
Well, it kind of actually, it's nice that you went to Rondale Moore because what I was just saying about Tyrell Williams, like, can kind of be said for Christian Kirk. I mean, Christian Kirk doesn't want to miss any time. Like, he's injured right now; he's sidelined. It's a minor deal, quote unquote minor deal, but I don't think he can afford to really miss any preseason time. Like Reagor, like we talked about earlier, he's competing with Folgum. He also is a first round pick just the year before. Like he's got some security. Yeah. Christian Kirk is last year, right? Of the deal, I think. I think they've even moved on as a team. I don't think Christian Kirk is part of the bigger picture.
Well, I was going to ask you this then, like, cause we mentioned cuts. Do you think that there's like any wide receiver cuts that other teams might be interested in off of this team, be it Andy Isabella, Keyshawn Johnson? This team has drafted wide receivers that
I think
Devy and Dynasty World has been high on for the last two or three years, and we've seen a lot of failure.
Yeah, if Isabella goes, then I would say yes. I don't know about Johnson, though. I just don't know if there's been enough to make anyone interested. And I think Isabella a second round pick? Early second round pick, I think. I think he was like a top 36 pick, like, dude.
Because didn't they draft him that year?
Yeah.
And then
Keyshawn was after that.
Yeah. And then it was Butler.
Yep. And Butler was like the sixth round.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think to your point, Isabella would be the guy. And to my point, Christian Kirk is a free agent next season. And if they wanted to get rid of him right now, they could. He's got no dead cap.
Well, I mean, the Bears found a way to get rid of Anthony Miller.
You mean through a trade?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Maybe stuff happens for some of these guys.
Oh, maybe. I'm talking in relation to Rondale Moore and the Cardinals. Like, these guys could find homes for sure.
Mm-hmm. With those cuts.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What year are we?
I keep hoping, like, Preston Williams doesn't get cut and go to the Lions because I just don't want to get tied into that ever again.
How much Amon-Ra do you own?
I think, like, when we did the show last week, I think I had 7 or 8 shares.
Okay. And what's that percentage wise? I really need to think, huh?
I'm just going to look at it. I still have that from last week.
I'm going to say 38%.
So Amon-Ra, 32%, 8 shares.
Nice. Yeah, that's a lot.
There's somebody I had that I was surprised I had so many of. I don't know why I'm looking for it. It was like my, what class was that? Oh, I've got a lot of Bryan Edwards.
Yeah, dude, you probably own as much as I do.
Also, 8 shares of Bryan Edwards.
Oh, wow. So
32%, you know, you have to take into consideration I'm in a few more leagues than you for percent rise.
Yeah.
32.
So Isabella was a second round pick. Butler was a fourth round pick. So Butler was before Johnson.
And then Keyshawn dropped. Okay.
And Keyshawn was six. I had it reversed. I had the rounds right, but for some reason I had Keyshawn in the fourth and Butler in the sixth. But Butler was the fourth. Keyshawn was the sixth and Isabella was the second. All of them just don't do anything for this team.
Nah.
That's why you run out and get Hopkins.
Of Keyshawn.
I'm going to talk about a team that can't get wide receiver right. You keep picking on the Eagles.
Like if they went out and got AJ Green, you know they're not feeling good about what else is going on. Like they got rid of one old guy and brought in the next one, Larry Fitzgerald, in case anybody's wondering who I'm talking about. And then they bring in Green. Yeah, can't look good for a lot of those young guys.
It's got to look okay for Rondell Moore, though. Don't disturb David.
Even Christian Kirk, I think, if he sticks around, I think Kirk and Rondell Moore could be included in that offense. I think Rondell Moore is the guy that you want now, though. I think he's already past Christian
Kirk. Yeah, I think so, too.
So, well, not a ton of rewind this week, man.
We're saving that for Dave.
We're saving it for maybe Dave if he's back in time, or maybe next week. We'll probably keep mixing some in with this camp news, to be honest with you, man. How fun, right?
Yeah, we joked around about how the camp news might take over the show, and it looks like the camp news took over the show.
Well, not only that, but we knew that this is what you wanted. We want to talk about those rewind players from last year because we do think it's important, but with everything going on this week and camp starting back up, all the rookie buzz, like this is where we felt we needed to be for you guys too. So,
and you know what a big part of it too is, Swags, we didn't have this last year. There was no Hall of Fame game, there were no preseason games, there was very little training camp, so this feels special. It just does. We're like 2 years ago we had this, so we're thirsty for it. And of course the two people who started Rookie Fever are going to get a little excited about these rookies during camp and during preseason. So hopefully it's contagious. Hopefully you guys don't get as sick as we are.
That's why Dave had to take
a lot of fun. Yeah. So is that what it was?
Rookie Fever is so bad.
Nice.
Appreciate you, Dave. Congratulations again.
Congrats,
Dave. Very happy and excited for you. You have a lucky wife, lucky baby. Be sure to follow at @FF_spaceman. Follow at Rookie Fever. Follow at ArtBarkTV. If you want, follow me at Swagzilla0G. We are out.
Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you're gone on a treat you ride. Rookie fever. Everybody's got the fever. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now.
You got the 101 scouting. It's never done this to before. And run to you anyone. Silence be just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, let's just break out a full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and she got the fever. Now you're for the fever, so let's beat the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the
fever.
Now you got the fever.
What a lovely way you burn.
Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.